This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. It's a good thing always to start the hour by being able to say the word radio. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'll mess around and take a call right now just to show you people I mean business. You know what? I'm going to do that. Before I just read a million promos and get into opinions, NFL schedule's out. You want to opine? Go ahead. By the way, the Lakers beat a Rockets team that basically fields, you know, another team's backups. But I say that's significant without LeBron or AD. Because what the Lakers just showed is they have guys on their bench. Maybe Andre Drummond's on the bench. Obviously Montrezl Harrell, those guys. They have guys on their bench that are going to be able to outplay the other team's bench. If the Lakers' bench is plus whatever, with AD and LeBron on the floor, you know the starters are going to be plus something. And guess what? If you're plus and plus, you win the game. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Well, I'm going to take a call. That's right. Raj is going up and down on my screen. I don't know. All right, here we go. Frank in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max. I just wanted to say, I don't think the Nets are unbeatable at all. I haven't seen Harden do anything in the playoffs. KD only won because he was on a 73-9 win team. I think the Lakers still have a shot. They have LeBron, they have AD, they did it last year. Why?
The Lakers, I do think the Lakers have the best shot. Maybe the Lakers or the Clippers because they're deeper. But the issue is this. You're right about Harden in the playoffs. I predict Harden's going to win finals MVP this year. And the reason is Harden, he's right when he says he's not selfish. He's not a guy who needs to score. Like, he's averaged 35 points a night when that's what the team needed. But really the secret sauce is D'Antoni plus Harden. So they run the pick and roll to death. And they only take high, you know, very efficient shots, either three-point shots or shots in the paint or from the foul line, right? And when Harden's playing, they're running D'Antoni and Harden's Rockets offense, except with KD and Kyrie and Joe Harris. It's just impossible. When all three play, you can see they're 5-2. When two of the three play, they're 28-12. When one of the three play, they're 12-7. But here's the real thing. When Harden plays, they're now 28-7, I believe. They win four times as much as they lose. They're 4-1 in every five games when Harden plays. It means they're gentlemen sweeping everybody. When Harden plays, whether that's with KD, with Kyrie, with both, or with neither. But in the playoffs, it's going to be Harden with KD and Kyrie. And as I said, Joe Harris is going to be wide open. He's one of the best three-point shooters who ever lived. He's going to be wide open. It's going to be a problem. I think Harden wins finals MVP because he's not going to be the one who has to take those shots. KD can do that. Kyrie can do that. He just has to orchestrate the offense. I think he's going to be very comfortable doing that. And I think given enough reps, you know, Steph, as I mentioned, choked the butt. Like, people say, oh, I want Iguodala. That's right. Not that Iguodala could go get his own shot, but under pressure, open shot, Iguodala doesn't care. He hits the shot. Steph had a problem hitting those big shots in the finals. Well, he saw a lot of defensive attention, blah, blah, blah. So did Michael Jordan. He didn't have a problem hitting shots. Steph did. But he grew out of that. You know, given enough reps, he got used to it. He got comfortable. And in the Toronto series, they lost the series, but they had no shot to win. Everyone was hurt. Steph played really well, and he hit big shots. So given enough reps, a guy who needs to get his feet wet to get that anxiety under control, the adrenaline, whatever it is under control, can get used to it and overcome the jitters, you know? And I think Harden, every year, he looks a little better to me in the playoffs. And given the fact that he won't have to score a lot because of KD and Kyrie, I think he's going to be finals MVP, I think, at the end of this season, postseason. The question's going to be, is LeBron still the best player in the world, or is it, everyone's going to think KD, no, or is it Harden? So the Lakers are going to play in the play-in, and I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing, and I don't even think, like, just give LeBron and AD all the rest they can get. And when AD comes back, if he only can play 25, 28 minutes, like, with confidence that you can get the kind of primo production out of him, then do it that way and let Drummond suck up the other minutes. You think Drummond can't give you 20 good minutes at the five? Or between Drummond and Montrezl Harrell, they can't give you what is it? Let's say you have to make up 18 to 20 minutes, at, you know, for AD, plus at the four, you need the full 48. You think between Montrezl Harrell and Andre Drummond, they can't give you, what is it, what are they going to need to give you, 65 minutes of basketball? Oh, yeah, they can. Those are good players. Playoff chances by seed, you could see that the Lakers are almost 90% likely to play in the play-in tournament. They have a 10% chance at the 6th seed, a 1% chance at the 5 seed. I don't like them. They're not going to be a 5 seed. I don't like them as the 6. I don't want them to play the Clippers cold. You know, just getting back Schroeder, just getting back LeBron, AD, everybody. And walk into a Clippers series cold. I hate that. I'd much rather them rest the guys now. Even if you lose the play-in to Golden State or Portland, you're going to beat the Grizzlies or the Spurs. And then with that kind of playoff kind of getting your feet wet with in postseason games, heading into a series against the Jazz or the Suns, especially the Suns. I don't think they can do anything with AD. I thought it was a big win last night. No LeBron, no Schroeder, no Caruso. That's THT getting it done 10 dimes out of the point guard spot. And by the way, so that's against backups. Again, if that's basically your second unit, THT with Drummond and these guys, great. Let your second unit be a plus five. Lakers can't lose in the West if that's what's going to happen. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance.
The NFL is billing this as the biggest season ever.
Just think about how many record holders we might have.
But I think all in all, look, football is football. The more the merrier for us. Let's just get it going.
NFL schedule is out. Listen to Keyshawn Johnson on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning.
It's not a New York thing. It's a fan thing.
Yeah.
But it's also a player thing.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. We get the schedule. We look at the schedule. And we go, yeah, we're going to rock him. He weak. Oh, yeah, that dude. Oh, yeah, we're going to fry him. Yeah, we can beat them. They got a good defensive line. We should win here, 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 here. Ah, that's tough. And a lot of players may not admit that, but I'm telling you, that happens on that sheet. Now it's 18 weeks instead of 17.
So you guys really look at the schedule when it comes
absolutely.
Out? Absolutely. I don't know, circle dates, but maybe
absolutely.
You do. Did you circle the date, Jets, absolutely. When you first saw the first time you were going to meet the Jets? Did you say, all right?
Oh, yeah, that didn't turn out too well.
Different area codes. Area codes. Yeah, I believe the players look at the schedule. I do. Different area codes. Tom Brady Sr., Tom Brady Jr.'s father, as it turns out. What a coincidence. Called 98.5 the Sports Hub, like as a fan calling in. Once the schedule came out, Tom Brady Sr. said this.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season. It's a game where we get to root for against nobody. We get to root for the Patriots, but we our most favorite team, of course, is the Buccaneers, and so we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly.
Now, Louis Riddick was on First Take earlier today, and he's has this, you know, the opinion. Well, you know what? We have that Louis Riddick sound, don't we, Raj? Listen to what Louis Riddick, our very own Monday Night Football analyst, had to say about this very topic, about what looks like the game of the year, like on the schedule, week 4, Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks at Foxborough, seeing Bill Belichick at Foxborough. Listen to Louis Riddick.
I really do feel that although New England has added a lot of pieces, obviously starting with free agency and how Bill really did strategically go ahead and supplement this roster, I think that this team is going to gel very quickly because I think these were very targeted acquisitions in the veteran free agent market. I think guys like Matthew Judon and Davin Godshall, they're going to be the kind of guys that really do set the tone defensively. They're going to return people like Dante Hightower on the defensive side of the ball as well. So I don't think you're going to see a team just go ahead and move the football up and down the field on this team like we saw happen to the Patriots late in the season last year.
I agree, by the way. I think that's a very winnable game for the Patriots. You hear that music, you know what that means? It's time for Hoops with Dr. Dre Andre Snellings, who has a PhD, thereby making him Dr. Dre, ESPN senior writer analyst, had an outrageous, he does very good work, but had an outrageous column that for some reason really got my goat, comparing the record-setting point guards of today with the giants of NBA history. Dr. Snellings. Well, welcome back to the show. Always enjoy it when you come on. Now, Dre, you really got my Irish up, and I'm not even Irish. But but hold on. Hold on a second. When you compare, well, you know what? I'm not even. Why don't you state your thesis in this of this article, and then I'll go at it, and then we'll argue and have
yeah,
a good
no
time.
Doubt.
Good.
So the purpose of the article is that we should recognize NBA history and just history in general as it's happening. And so, you know, obviously Russell Westbrook just set the all-time triple-doubles record. Steph Curry is either breaking or flirting with every three-point shooting record there is. And Chris Paul has just made a career out of things. He just turned 36, and, you know, he has the second most assists of all time for people that age. So looking at these three guys, I said, let's compare them with some of the giants of history. And let's not be boring and do the comparisons everybody does. You know, I've done the stylistic comparisons before. You know, if I was going to compare Westbrook to somebody stylistically, he's like Jordan and Allen Iverson had a baby.
No,
you know,
no. Kobe and Allen Iverson had a baby. Kobe.
Okay, I mean, you say it like Kobe and Jordan is like way
different. No, but come on. LeBron, this is very important. This is my baby. LeBron right. and Magic had a baby. Magic and Michael had a baby. It was LeBron. Kobe and AI had a baby. It was Westbrook. You see? We have to get the lineage right. But go ahead.
Okay.
Where did Dr. Dre go? Raj, what happened?
Knowledge on him, and he just like, you know what I'm saying? Ooh, maybe Suge Knight heard about it and thought it was the real Dr. Dre, and Suge Knight got to him.
So anyway, as he's calling back, or as we're getting him back, Andre Snellings, it makes an interesting point. Instead of just saying, oh, this guy is stylistically like this guy and that guy like that guy, he's saying, appreciate and recognize history as it's being made. I appreciate that point. And look at these guys and what they're doing and compare them to guys in another era who were also making history, even if they didn't play the same position. Do we have Dr. Dre back yet, Raj? Momentarily. Very good. Do you know that momentarily, in fact, means for a moment, not in a moment? But here we have him. Dr. Dre. So you were saying. So go ahead. So continue.
Okay. So I compare Westbrook to Wilt. I compare Steph Curry's three-point shooting, which is completely changing the way that the offense is played these days, with Bill Russell's defense and his shot blocking, which changed the way defense was ever played. And then I compare Chris Paul and his just balanced excellence of offense and defense over the last 15 years with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And I looked at their offense and all-NBA teams. And so, you know, just
terrible.
Comparisons that you don't normally see, but that I think are apt in the way I did it.
I think it's a very interesting idea, but just terrible. Just terrible. Let me explain what's going on here. There's a reason that the group of guys you just mentioned have virtually no championships. In fact, Steph Curry only has three because the first one, LeBron had Kyrie and Kevin Love both hurt, or surely they would have lost that championship. But six games without Kyrie or Kevin Love, they would not have taken that LeBron squad seven games if LeBron's squad was all healthy. And then the other two, and by the way, he couldn't win. With a 73-win team, greatest half-court offense ever, went 4 minutes and 22 seconds in game seven, fourth quarter, at home, the last 4:22, to lose, and then only won two more because they added KD to that team. At that point, it's non-competitive, right? So he has really, the way I look at it, Steph has almost like, it's kind of like zero championships in a situation where realistically you can gauge, is this a championship player? Chris Paul has none, Westbrook has none. That's a big fat zero. Wilt has two, Kareem's got six, Bill Russell's got 11. In other words, you're comparing these guys who are not the best players of their era to the greatest players of their era. How dare you?
Well, but again, if the article, and again, you know, I kind of described it a little bit just there, but if the article was making the case that these three point guards were as good as those three guys, yeah. Well, then, yeah, I mean, you know, that's an entirely different story. I would never make that case. You know, those are three of the top 10 players, you know, in NBA history, yes. In some order. And I don't think any of the point guards are at that level. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is if you look at elements of their game, if you look at the way that Westbrook is just this athletic dynamo that can call his own shot, that could say, you know what, my man Nipsey Hussle just died. I want to get 20 points, 20 rebounds, and 20 assists in a game, and then he can just go do it. Like, that's not human. That's not something normal people could do, but it's the kind of thing Wilt used to do all the time. Wilt used to say, hey, I want to lead the league in assists, and he would go out and do it.
Yeah, you know when he would do it, Dre? He would do it. If you needed Wilt to score, he'd get you with the assist. If you needed him to pass the ball, he would score. That's why he only got two championships. Listen, I hear your premise, but in typical sports radio fashion, I will ignore your premise and yell and scream and call you stupid. How dare you? How dare you?
That's what makes it fun, you know?
That's right. How dare you? Listen, but
articles are based on the barbershop. I call it the Hoop Slab Barbershop. And in the barbershop, that's exactly how it'll go.
Look at you. You're bald. That's why you think that's how it goes in a barbershop, because you're bald. You do that at home with a razor.
Well, I do now, and especially because of COVID. But I used to go to barbershops all the time, and someday I hope to go back.
That's right. You have the official barbershop where, you know, you got the alcohol after and the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. It's the good stuff. You go and just be there all day.
Now,
like,
I used
to
go.
My dad would take me at like 8 in the morning, and we'd leave at 8 at night.
Now, I used to have a lineup when I had a Caesar back in the day, Dre. I had a lineup with the part. I had the whole thing. Lineup with a Caesar, fade, part, the whole thing. You ever have lineups, or you just went from hair to bald?
No, I had hair. You know, the reason I don't have hair now is the same reason that Michael Jordan stopped having hair. You know, it's like nature said, I'm not going to have any hair on top, so therefore I let my razor do the rest.
I understand. Now, I want to get into this. Why choose to do the point guards, especially the point guard? Steph certainly changed the game, and Westbrook is a great player. And Chris Paul is, like, when I was a kid, Chris Paul is the perfect point guard. Right? For when I was a kid, if Larry Brown could have seen Chris Paul, he would have died happy. Like, now I can die. Right? But the game has changed, and there are players in today's game that are more like, I think, the centers that you pointed out back then. James Harden, right? Like, they are Kevin Durant. There are players who are going to go down on the all-time list or are going to wind up with more championships or have more sway over the outcome of important games than the guys you chose. So why choose them?
Well, because of the timeliness of it and the fact that they still deserve their respect, right? Like, this article came about specifically because Westbrook was about to break this all-time record. And, you know, like I said, the common thing to do is, well, he has more. He just passed Oscar Robertson in triple doubles, and Oscar and say Magic had the most triple doubles. So normally that's the comparison that's made. Or, you know, again, stylistically, it's Kobe and Allen Iverson. I've written that article before, and so this man just did something that no one else has ever done. And instead of making it an argument about whether he was really that great or not, which to me kind of misses the point, right? You know, he's doing something outstanding.
I think that's right. I think you're right about that. And what I guess the hook for me is more like you take the 1960-61 season, right? When everyone overrated those players because back then a guy could average 50 and 25. Well, he's Wilt Chamberlain. Well, Elgin averaged 37. And Oscar Robertson averaged a triple-double, right? The circumstances were right for great players to put up much better numbers, counting numbers, than like Magic or Bird were able to do because the game was just different, right? So it does seem to me that we are now in an era where the primary ball handler, if he's a really great player like Westbrook, can put up numbers that out of context will seem like this must be the greatest player of all time. Like, they can put up numbers like Westbrook, you're right, he can put up numbers that are the point guard version of Wilt Chamberlain because the circumstances are right for him to do it. Obviously, he has to be a great player. No one else is doing it. But the circumstances are right for him. In that sense, I get it. But that would be the hook for me. So now go back and rewrite that article.
Just actually made an excellent point, though, because, you know, we've talked about before, like you just talked about, Wilt had two championships versus Russell's 11, right? But even though Wilt was breaking every record in the box scores. And the point, you know, in that respect is Westbrook is a lot like Wilt in that respect. He's putting up box score numbers that nobody else can do, but there are lots of numbers. You know me, I love impact stats. Right. And so impact stats, Westbrook's not at the top of the current NBA.
All right,
and you know what?
You won
Wilt wasn't
over.
At the top of the NBA in his time. You know,
you won me over, Dre. You won me over. You know why? Because 20 years from now, I'm going to have to argue with idiots who are going to tell me they're going to look at Westbrook's numbers. The way Raj tells me Wilt's the greatest player of all time. I'm like, well, if that was true, he wouldn't be sitting on two chips and Bill Russell with 11. Bill Russell wouldn't be 21-0 in deciding games in his career, and Wilt certainly was not that. And they're going to swear, oh, look at those numbers. Westbrook was the greatest player of all time. And I'm going to have to be like, I love Westbrook to death, but he's not the greatest. But so you're right. You won me over. Andre
all right,
Snellen,
well, good. You know, that was easy. You made it easy for me.
Yes, yes. Well, you argued it well. Dr. Dre joined me on the Goodyear Hotline. That's Andre Snellings of ESPN fame, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. L.A., hear what game Sean McVay says will be an emotional one. The 2021 NFL schedule is officially released, which means the NFL season's around the corner. Live events are making a comeback, and there's no better place to be than Vivid Seats to get back into the action. So grab your NFL tickets and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Man, that feels great to finally say. Please include your include something that is meant for a direction for me. And not to be repeated.
Hey, you're doing it right, though.
I am Anchorman. If you put it in the prompter, I'm going to read it.
You already had one, and you did it successfully the first time.
Doesn't flawlessly.
Matter. It doesn't matter. Even better, earn up to 9% cash back with Vivid Seats rewards. VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Friends, how many of us have... Listen, Houdini still sounds good to me. Listen to the whole Houdini album, front to back. Be loving life. Sean McVay said about playing Jared Goff and the Lions week 7 the following...
There's a lot of emotions. There's a lot of history, a lot of really great memories with Jared. But, you know, our goal is the Rams versus the Lions. And as the Rams, we're trying to win that football game. But, you know, that seems so far away right now. Our focus is kind of on just being where we're at. Really, when the schedule comes out, one of the only things that I kind of look at is that opener.
I mean, Sean McVay, well, the Rams drafted Jared Goff 1 overall. And he was a 2-time Pro Bowler. And 2/3 of the way through that season that they went to the Super Bowl, I'd say he was an MVP candidate. There were 3 on that Rams team. Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, and, of course, Aaron Donald on the defense. And he, you know, was in the Super Bowl, had a bad Super Bowl, but was a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl for the Rams. And yet the Rams turned around and traded not only Jared Goff, but 2 firsts and a 3rd. Not for Aaron Rodgers, for Matthew Stafford. You know what that means? That means McVay looked at Stafford and said, if I had him, we could win some Super Bowls. That's what that means. So don't give me all this emotional stuff, coach. You didn't want Goff anymore because you thought Stafford was that much better than him. Not a little better. 2 firsts and a 3rd better. You only do that for an older quarterback. And yeah, he's a more team-friendly deal. But you only do that for an older quarterback when you think it's a moment of very high leverage. In other words, you think if we could get better at the quarterback position, we can win at least a Super Bowl right now. It's emotional when he sees Jared Goff because he's like, oh, how close we came. If only he were better. He's sad. He looks at his guy, Matthew Stafford. Now he's happy. But by the way, a lot of pressure on Stafford. I don't think there's more pressure on anyone in the NFL unless Aaron Rodgers actually gets traded than Matthew Stafford, because his whole legacy's on the line. Stafford always has been known as like a top 5 arm talent guy, but just in a losing situation in Detroit. Well, everything about him is about to be reexamined because he's coming to a team that Jared Goff took to a Super Bowl. He's coming to a team with a great defense and an offensive-minded head coach who's a brilliant young guy. And they gave up 2 firsts and a 3rd, thinking that that's how much better Stafford is than Goff, and they can, you know, go get to the promised land with Stafford. Well, he's under enormous pressure. The Rams can't just be like a one-and-out type playoff team the next couple of years. They got to make deep runs year in and year out. Max Kellerman Show, brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Raj, the schedule has a lot of interesting games.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to throw out, let's do five of them. You throw all right. out a big game, and I will give you my deep football wisdom about it. As you know, I am a former Madden champion, meaning around 04, 05, I won the Super Bowl on Madden in Dynasty mode, just simulating games.
Okay.
And I played a lot of seasons, but I just won the Super Bowl. But I think that means that I'm very credible on this subject. So go ahead.
You are very credible, but we only have 2 minutes, so I'm going to need 30 seconds on these. I love your resume, though. Very credible resume. All right, I went prime time. Week 5, Bills at KC was my favorite game. What do you say?
I like Josh Allen a lot. Josh Allen's a very good quarterback. He is a different kind of animal than Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes and Rodgers are in a class by themselves. So it's not an issue of degree, it's an issue of kind. The only other young quarterback like them, maybe Justin Herbert, but it's not Josh Allen. And because of that, when it comes down to it, I like the Chiefs every year to get to the Super Bowl. I like Mahomes every year to win the MVP, and I like the Chiefs to beat the Bills. What else?
All right. Week 1, your favorite team deep down inside America's team, the Cowboys and the Bucks. Week 1, what do you got, Max?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Bucks are going to beat the Cowboys. The reigning and defending Super Bowl champion Bucks, who returned all 22 starters, are going to beat the Cowboys, who have not been above 500 now in 3 seasons. So, yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say they will start the season 1-0, and the Cowboys, as usual, will not be in playoff contention. Go ahead.
I don't think it's been 3 seasons, but we'll have fact check that. Okay, week 2, here's a good one. The Chiefs at Baltimore. Ooh, look at that quarterback matchup.
That is a good one, and the Ravens have a defense, as always. The Ravens, I'm tempted to take in the AFC North. I think the Browns had a good enough draft that they're a hair above the Ravens. Steelers in third in that division, Bengals in fourth. I like the Chiefs against anyone they play in any given week. They're not going to go undefeated, but I'm always making them the favorites. So that includes against the Ravens at Baltimore.
Okay, all right. All right, fine. And let's finally go with the Young Bucks, Max. Talk to me about week 4, Trevor Lawrence versus Joe Burrow.
That is something because, you know, Trevor Lawrence was so highly touted since he was, you know, since he went to college. And then he wins the championship so early in his college career. And he does it so much more handily than Deshaun Watson had in the same program the year before. But Joe Burrow came on late in his college career. And Joe Burrow capped probably the greatest college season ever with probably the greatest performance ever, right? And he was the difference. He was the difference in that game. He's a better quarterback. Why would it be different as a pro? Maybe because he's a little bit older? I don't know. Joe Burrow looked very promising his rookie year. He now has Ja'Marr Chase to throw the ball to. I think the Bengals are ahead of where the Jaguars will be. And I like Joe Burrow and Cincinnati over Trevor Lawrence in that matchup. So there you have it. That's it. That's it, Roger.
Tell us what you got coming up next.
Well, coming up next, I'll tell you why the Lakers should back into the play-in game. And Lakers fans shouldn't stress it. I've been saying the same thing for 3 straight days, but I know everyone doesn't listen to the whole show. So if you're in your car right now, I'm going to tell you again. A new lightweight king will be crowned at UFC 262 when rising star Charles Oliveira, who recently beat Tony Ferguson, battles Michael Chandler for the vacant title. Catch UFC 262 this Saturday, available exclusively to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Lightweight division, the future of the lightweight division, it's here. Well, Conor McGregor will get a shot at the winner here if he can win. But Nurmagomedov retired. This is it. It's going to be the champ, the winner of this fight. Visit ESPNplus.com/PBV.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
This is why the Lakers should back into the playing game. If they end up in the 7th seed, They're going to face the Golden State Warriors or the Memphis Grizzlies. Okay, they'll be favored in both matchups. But let's say they lose to the Warriors. Hard to imagine them losing to the Grizzlies. Let's say Steph gets hot. There's nothing you could do. You lose. As a 7-8, the loser of that faces 9-10. You think they're also going to lose to, say, the Spurs in the next game? No, it's not going to happen. If the Lakers win, they play the team in position of the second seed, which is the Phoenix Suns, who the Lakers just beat without LeBron James or Dennis Schroeder. They're going to beat the Suns. However, if the Lakers continue to fight for the sixth seed and miraculously steal it, not only will they be risking the health of especially Anthony Davis with the groin, not to mention LeBron with the ankle, but then even if they get there, they're going up against the Los Angeles Clippers. I think that's the toughest matchup. Well, why would they do that? Don't! Rest LeBron. Rest AD. Then nice and rested, get through that little play-in situation and smoke the Suns. Because one thing we know about the Los Angeles Clippers, they don't get out of the second round. Might get out of the first, though. Carter in Vermont, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, I got to tell you, this new award, this social justice award, I mean, come on. I don't get it. I don't know.
What? What don't
LeBron's
you get about
gonna
it?
Win it. It's just, listen, I love Kareem. Kareem's the greatest center of all time. But I don't know. I'm getting sick tired of the NBA pushing this down our throats.
Pushing what down your throat?
The social justice message.
Well, I mean, look, the fact of the matter is, most of the NBA, at least American-born players, are African-American. And I understand, well, you know, like, and well, traditionally, because Africa, well, let's back up. The reason there is a socioeconomic difference between white people per capita and black people per capita in this country is because of slavery, followed by Reconstruction, Jim Crow, et cetera, right? That's why white people make more money and are better educated than black people in this country. There's nothing intrinsic about racial conditions that resulted in that. It was the policy of the United States government, right? And so one of the ways out for African Americans of bad socioeconomic situations was sports or entertainment, right? And I think what NBA players are saying is, I know you just want us to shut up and dribble, right? Entertain you. But whatever position we're in, whatever platform this gives us, we'd like to create a new normal where, you know, where at least we can use our platforms to promote social justice. So while I understand it can be annoying, right? I get it. Like, oh, hold on. This is not my issue. If you're a white guy from Vermont or wherever, I think it is your issue as an American, but okay, as a human being, but let's say you don't feel that way. Or even if you do feel that way, you go, yeah, but I'm just here to watch a basketball game. I could see where that would be annoying. I get it. It's the trade-off is, you know, 400 years of oppression on the one hand, and a group of people trying to make it a little better, and they it's a little bit annoying for you during your favorite, you know, distraction. Okay, as you know, I'm willing to pay that price. I'll be a little bit annoyed, and maybe things will get better. I could sneak another one in. Ethan in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Yo, what's up, Max? You're literally the best person to kind of hear me out on my TED Talk topic that I'm going to tell you about. Right. I think the Browns are cursed, the Cleveland Browns, not for the quarterbacks or anything like that. It's literally that stupid helmet logo that they have. Literally any team can have the logo, an NBA team, an MLB team. They literally slap the logo on the side of a helmet and call it that. And it's been 57 years since they've won anything. I think I really think that's it. It boils down to that. They need a rebrand. Go with the Bulldog or the little elf guy. He kind of looks like Baker Mayfield, so it kind of works out.
The little elf guy looks like Baker. That's good. Oh, Andre in Massachusetts. I know you've been waiting for a while, Dre. What's up? You got 30 seconds.
No, no problem at all, Max. Listen, we do have a big game. It's not the biggest game in NFL history, but Patriots bucks. People are already talking about paying $4,000 for tickets. They're out of their mind. Yeah. It means more to Bill and the Patriots. We have to reestablish ourselves. It's far from a Super Bowl in week four, but the NFL is spot on once again in terms of drumming up interest, support, and Brady did a great thing having his dad chime in. Wonderful, and we're looking forward to it, man.
No doubt. No doubt. That's a huge game, and I'm not convinced the Bucs win it. I agree. It means more to Belichick right now. And the Belichick with preparation, that's tough to beat. You got a long time to prepare for that game in a revamped defense. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.